Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Good afternoon and welcome to Engage for Success Radio show number 533, The Effect of Self-Image on Performance. And today we're going to be talking about just that, the effect of self-image on performance. I'm Jo Dodds, your host for today. I'm an engagement consultant working within the Engage for Success core team. The Engage for Success movement is an inclusive movement committed to the idea that there is a better way to work by releasing more of the capability and potential of people at work. We spread the word about employee engagement and shine a light on good practice, inspiring people and workplaces to thrive. And we're widely supported across the UK, involving the public, private and third sectors. If you go to our website, which is engageforsuccess.org, you can use the link at the bottom of the page to join our newsletter list, and all our social media links are there too. My guest today is Susanna Mihailovic, who's author of Your Two Minds. Welcome, Susanna. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Jo. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
And you're majorly committed because it's some ridiculous hour in the morning at your neck of the woods, isn't it? You're not from these parts.
No, I'm from halfway around the world, so it's 3:30, 3:40 to be precise.
Lovely. So start by telling us a bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I'm a success and mindset coach. I work with teams, with individuals, entrepreneurs. And I help them break through their limits to the next big major goal.
Lovely. And tell us what we're going to talk about today. I've said self-image. Obviously, our radio show is about employee engagement. So I'm sort of imagining this is about about the clothes you wear necessarily. So what do we mean by self-image?
Absolutely. So when we think of self-image, we think of it as the external, the way you dress and body image and all of that. However, what I'm talking about when I talk about self-image, it's the image in your mind of who you are and of yourself, basically. And there's decades of research that show the self-image that an individual has and the self-image that therefore a team has will determine their level of success in their role in the business.
So what do we actually mean by self-image and how does it sort of manifest for individuals? So we said, I guess it probably is partly about how you appear to people physically, but as you say, it's more about how you think of yourself. But
absolutely.
So tell me more about what that really means.
So how we appear to people is always represented by the image in our mind. If you think of your mind thinks in images. So we each have an image of ourselves according to every area of our life. In the workforce, we have an image of who we are and of the level of success and confidence we may have. There are so many professionals that suffer from, so many very highly skilled professionals that suffer from imposter syndrome, for example, the feelings of unworthiness, feeling that they'd be found out, that they're not good enough, all of that. And that reflects on how they see themselves. Self-image was discovered back in the 40s and 50s by a plastic surgeon called Dr. Maxwell Maltz. And he had two cohorts of clients. After he change their feature for whatever reason, whether it be a different nose or whatever feature that they had come to see him about. After changing that feature, there were two cohorts of patients that came back. One cohort had absolutely changed their work life, their finances, their relationships, completely different life. And the other cohort had no change at all. So he started to think about why was this the case, and he realized the only difference was that in the cohort of patients that were hugely or became successful after the surgery, they had changed how they had seen themselves in their own minds. They had changed the image that they had of who they were in the world, of who they were in business, of who they were in relationships. So when it comes to the workforce and team culture, often we invest, so many organizations invest so much money in professional development, rightly so. We need to train our staff, right? However, often the training and development does not return the investment that many organizations want. And the reason for that is they're not changing from the inside out. As soon as individuals start to change that image of success in their mind, or teams have the image, the collective image of what success means for them, who they are as a team, it starts to change morale, culture, and also KPIs and the results that you get within the organization.
So how do people do that? Because there's often a gap between what you think you should be doing or saying, or how you should be behaving, and how you actually do. So it's a similar thing with the self-image, isn't it? You might sort of have an idea of how you should be behaving or how you should be coming across, but actually the reality might be something completely different. So how do you sort of internalize, how do you make those changes internally rather than just knowing about them?
Yeah, absolutely. And Joe, you're so right. You know, there is often a gap between knowing and doing. And, you know, changing the concept of who you are is not, it's simple, but sometimes it's not easy. And that's why people need a little bit of help. So, and there can be simple activities that individuals and teams do to start to change that self-image from the inside out. The first step is understanding the individual and team, understanding how their mind works. So our mind, first of all, we need a goal. So it's a goal-seeking mechanism. So it needs to know where it's taking you. It needs to have a very clear goal. And often a big goal is a great goal because, you know, the individual and teams are stretchers. That's the number one thing. We need clarity in our mind. We need clarity as to where we're going and what we want to achieve. The next step is to define and think about, who am I as the person that has achieved that goal? Okay. So, yes, you can look at, you know, the way you've seen yourself up until now and write that down and let it go. But the most important thing is to have a clear goal, and then create an image of yourself that aligns with that goal, or a team image that aligns with that goal. An example of that may be, you know, you want to end up in a management position by 2 years' time as an individual goal. Asking yourself, how would that person see themselves when no one is watching? How would they feel about themselves? How would they act? Start to write a description. Feeling is the secret, and imagination is the key to success, because that is how you think about yourself. You know, when you think in images, images pop up in your mind. So that will then create, once you start to write a description of who you are in that role, that will, you'll naturally start to create an image. Now, I said that this is simple but not easy. So that's the simple part. The gap is the persistence in doing that every day. So we change our subconscious programming through repetition and through emotion. So it requires the discipline to do that daily. In a team environment, you can do exactly the same team, and it's a great team building exercise. You can do you know, exactly or a very similar exercise with your team. What is the goal? Where do we want to be at the end of the year? So, you know, our goal is to bring in, I don't know, it might, the first thing that comes to mind is the monetary goal, but, you know, obviously it's not the goal for every team. You know, we want to bring in $1 million of sales by the end of 12 months, you know, in a year's time. Fantastic. Who have we been as a team up until now? These are our strengths, our weaknesses. And put that aside, who are we as a team right now that is bringing in $1 million in sales? Well, we're dynamic. We communicate very clearly. We have a meeting every morning. How do we see? We are the A team. Okay, so you start to write a description of how that team sees themselves in their $1 million goal. How do we think? How do we feel? How do we function as a team? How do we stand out as a team? And then by doing that persistently, putting some team rules in place, having that as the first thing that you look at in your team meetings, you can do some simple exercises that keeps this focus in the forefront of the team's mind. And once it becomes an integral part of them, they're going to feel like the A team. They're going to start to act and think and connect. And the energy of the team will be the team that brings in the $1 million of sales.
So what happens when you do that and you've got somebody who isn't wanting to do that, who doesn't see that, who perhaps is thinking the opposite?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. And I think also, so when you do these, when you understand, and there are so many answers to that question, but when you understand why the person is where they're at, where their self-image is, so their self-image may be of somebody that is misunderstood or whatever, helping them change their own self-image first. And helping them participate and have a role that is unique to them in the building of this new team self-image and moving forward. You know, exercises like that often work, absolutely often work. And helping the individual live their own way of seeing themselves and the contribution to the team. Now, that doesn't mean that every single person will change, and it doesn't mean that you know, you don't have to go down the path of, you know, having some frank and you know, serious discussions with individuals. But when you understand, if you know, if they are an integral part of the team, when you understand their own self-image is what brings that negative attitude to the team and holds people back, helping them change that in a way that they feel a part of the team, that they are contributing and they feel valuable in the team, helping them change their own self-image will, you know, bring them along eventually. In most cases, yeah, I don't think we can bow to 100%, you know, individuals changing, and then that's a different discussion, I think.
So one of the things that we talk about quite a lot now that we hadn't until the last few years is the whole thing about bring your whole self to work. How does that sort of jive with the whole thing of self-image? Because I think sort of before that was a concept, we used to say, you know, they'd sort of leave their real selves at the door and turn into corporate person or you know, restaurant server or whatever, I don't know, they do whatever they thought they needed to do in that role, and quite often they were suppressing important parts of themselves and their personalities. So how do those two things sort of fit together now?
Yeah, and that's such a great question, and we're not talking about, and I'm glad that you asked that question because it absolutely needs clarification. We're actually not talking about the person, you know, disconnecting from their authenticity to who they are. We are talking about an expansion of who they really are in the workforce. So when they understand their own self-image and how, once you start to change that from someone that sees themselves as, you know, doesn't have the confidence or doesn't isn't up to the level that they should be, or, you know, imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is a classic experience of many very highly qualified professionals that do great work. They feel like a fake. They feel like they're not up to scratch, you know, even though evidence shows that they are. So self-image is actually not creating a part of you that is fake. It's an extension of who you are. It's bringing in the confidence. It's bringing in you know, the truth in the way that you see yourself as you are. It's not, you know, being a fraud in any way. It's just extending your own perception and your own, you know, skills and values and confidence in the way that you see yourself. And as when you work with individuals in a team, you can also work on the team self-image too. I would also really do this work with you know, individuals in their own lives too, because if they're feeling great and they see themselves great in other areas of their life, then they're going to feel great when they're at work. They're going, self-image helps them feel like a strong self-image in all areas, helps them feel of value when they are in a group, when they are a part of an organization. Having an organizational image helps people helps the team culture, helps boost morale, helps people feel like they are contributing within themselves first. So it's not just an external show. This is about changing from the inside out so that we get great culture, great morale, and we achieve big, big results, which are always rewarding for teams and cultures.
So you have somebody in a senior position in a team who has imposter syndrome, and as you say, that's really common. What do they do? Because they've got to sort of get their own self-image in the right place in order to do the same with their team. So what can they do?
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. That's common. You know, it's a common experience that a lot of senior, you know, managers do have, and a lot of, you know, very good professionals experience imposter syndrome, as I've mentioned. So first of all, don't hide. Find a mentor, find a coach, find somebody that is absolutely trustworthy and will keep your confidentiality about the way that you are feeling. When we hide in our emotions, we start to feel a sense of shame, a sense of, you know, overwhelm, and sometimes these feelings can you know, exacerbate. So the first thing is find that person that, you know, whether it's within the organization or outside of the organization, a mentor that you can absolutely trust, that has your back, and there's confidentiality around that. That's number one, because if you hide in it, it will just, it can potentially exacerbate. And then work on, you know, how you're seeing yourself. Really come to an understanding of what are the thoughts that are coming into your mind that actually, you know, make you feel that you're not up to scratch. Write them down, get them down on paper, and start to change them in more empowering ways. If you look back on your track record, if you've been a successful manager, evidence will show that what you're thinking and feeling about yourself as an imposter is not true. And often the mind needs a bit of evidence of some wins at all. Okay, so find a trustworthy mentor, understand, you know, the thoughts and feelings that are holding you back, change them to align with your goals. So make sure you've got a very clear goal of where you are going, and change the image of what you have about yourself to align with that goal, and look at your wins as your track record.
It's funny, I often say to my daughter and my partner that they need to act as if when there's potentially an issue, you know, like if they're not very happy for some reason, I always say act as if you are happy and then you probably will be.
Well, I worked, it's interesting that you say that, because act as if is a concept that, you know, Dr. Maxwell Maltz would say, you know, in terms of changing your self-image, and they're the exact words. And I worked very closely with one of our greatest leaders in human potential. I was one of his top people, Bob Proctor. Many people know who Bob Proctor is. Many, you know, are discovering who he is now after, you know, he has passed away. And they're the exact words that he would say. So focus on your goal, change, you know, the way you see yourself, and act as if. Absolutely. It is amazing when you start to act as if, how when that becomes your new habit, how your, you know, your whole concept of who you are in the world, who you are at work, and how you feel about yourself changes. So you've absolutely nailed that, Joe. Definitely.
And the other thing that's, I think, connected to this, and it may be from the same sort of original work, is to describe yourself as somebody who, as opposed to who will be. So, like, I don't know, I'm thinking about, I don't know, maybe this isn't business at all, but, you know, like not eating sugar, for example, you know, trying to avoid eating sugar. That instead of saying I'm not going to eat sugar, you say I'm somebody who doesn't eat sugar. Is that connected? Is that the same sort of thing?
100%, 100% again. So remember, your subconscious mind only will, so it is automatic, okay? It doesn't understand. So if you say I will, then you will in future. Okay, if you are training yourself to I am, right, then it understands I am. So it will start to, you'll start to feel and behave in ways that are associated with I am. Earlier in this interview, I mentioned the $1 million sales team, and I said they are the, you know, that they see themselves. So once you start to create a self-image that you are the millionaire sales team, then you'll start to naturally act and feel and get the results that a $1 million sales team gets. So spot on, 100%. Never, ever, ever say I will, because your subconscious that is in control of you, of how you think, feel, and all of your results will, you know, be I willing, you know, one day I'm gonna, and you'll be an I'm gonna, you know. So be the person now. Yes.
So how do you work with people? Do you work with individuals? Do you work with teams? How does your process work?
Absolutely. So I work with both, Joe. I work with individuals and I work with teams. With the individuals, I work in a group setting, so I have a number of programs, you know, matched to different individuals, mainly entrepreneurs. But with teams, what I do is I assess the team where they're at, you know, where they need to grow, and we develop a plan together as to, you know, getting them to where they need to be. And self-image is a very big part of all of the work that I do, because reality is, and studies show us, Joe, that if we do not change our self-image from the inside out, and then the team does not change their self-image, the results will be temporary. For results to be permanent, for us to achieve the results that we want and have permanent results, it must be from the inside out. We must change the image of that we have of ourselves and align with that. So everything I do, I do put, you know, self-image work into it, but I work with individuals as well as teams.
So we're coming towards the end of the show. If you were to talk to leaders or have leaders listening to this, thinking about how they can use this within their own situation and their own teams, what would your sort of top tips be?
Absolutely. So where do you want to go? Where do you want your team to be by the end of the year? That's number one, where the mind is a goal-seeking mechanism. We need to be clear. So if you have a disruptive team, what does, you know, a great team with great morale achieving X, Y, and Z results look like for you? That's the next step. So what's my goal? What does it look like? How is it? How will it be in an ideal world? Put it in present tense. Then the next question, ask yourself, well, who am I as a leader of a successful team functioning in this way? And then put those attributes, thoughts, feelings down and start to become that leader of that team now. It is absolutely incredible what happens when you show up, when you become the leader of a successful team, even when it is dysfunctional or nowhere near where you want it to be. Once you start to become that leader now and feel it and see it and think it, then your mind will start to find solutions and the next steps. You will also start to show up differently to your team. You will start to communicate differently. They will start to hear you differently too. Everything starts from the inside out. It is amazing how your mind works. So Einstein said, in order to change any situation, in order to change a problem, we can't stay in the problem. We can't think from the problem. We can't be the problem. We must rise above and think from the solution. So that's exactly what we're doing. We must rise above and think from the goal. Be the person that has the goal. Be the leader that you want to be. And then your mind will start to open up to the next idea and the next idea and the next idea and the next idea. Yes, you definitely do need a plan, but remember, plans change. Goals should never change. Okay, and the more you align, the more you become that person, that leader now, the more your mind's going to open up to your genius and give you the next solution and the next one and the next one. So that's what my advice would be.
Lovely. Thank you, Suzanne. It's been great talking to you today. Thanks for joining me, especially at such an early hour of the day.
It is an absolute pleasure, Jo. Thank you so much for having me. What a great show you guys have. Thank you.
And just to let you know, next week, Jo Moffat is back with Jo Hans, and she's the co-founder of Geeky, I think it's pronounced, and they're talking about the best techniques to achieve employee engagement.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.